This audio file came from newwineonline.com. Number 1505.
You ready for the title? How to Have a Really Good Life, 3 Easy Steps. How to Have a Really Good Life, 3 Easy Steps. Alright, Psalm 1:1. You ready? Blessed is the man. Ushers, I think these youngsters need some Bibles. You can go get it. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Stop right there. There's your 3 easy steps out of a good life. Can you hear an amen? Okay. Well, y'all ready to go home? Just go do it. Let me put a little meat on the bones. You know, the book of Psalms starts out with this blessed. You know that word blessed in the Hebrew is Esher. It means happiness. Listen, literally, happiness comes by two things, avoidance and involvement. And verse 1 is about what you ought to avoid. And verse 2 and 3 is about what you need to be involved in. And this is the key to happiness. And you know, I really don't get any more basic than this. And I'm going to end this by talking to you about my life. I don't often do that. But I was reflecting on my life and how God has blessed me in the 36 years that I've known Christ. And I can look back and see that my life is a testimony of the faithfulness of God and what God does when you do these principles. You know, it's not just something to say it, it's to model it. I could stand here as a testimony and say my life is a witness of the validity of these truths. So you can look at my life, my personal life, and say, you know, this really is true. This, if it works for that brother who's a scum of sinners, they come, it'll work for you. Can you hear an amen? Not, you don't have to say amen so much about me being a scum sinner, although that's true. It's all grace. Let's look at the first one. The first one is, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me break that down a bit. The word in Hebrew, a counsel, that means advice of the ungodly. The ungodly Hebrew word, rasha, means morally misguided. You do not walk in the advice of the morally misguided. I'm sorry, I'm sure Oprah's a nice lady, but she's morally misguided. Oh, I wasn't going to use that word, I'm trying to be polite. The morally misguided woman. She speaks a counsel of the ungodly. There's even a YouTube going around, I told you about it, that she does not believe. Some woman got on there one day, I love it, with Oprah going on and on, how Jesus is the only way. And Oprah just, you know, there's a new age, she believes in the new age. She's had some serious new age people on there. So, but many people go to Ann Landers when I was growing up. Or Dear Abby. Talk shows, articles, colleagues, relatives. You know, there's no end to good advice. You know, it's there for the asking, and often it'll come even if you don't ask for it. Can I amen? Right. And I'm going to tell you, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I can't tell you how many people I know that have living their life and making choices on the basis of advice from those who are morally misguided or spiritually misguided. And God was good. I've just got a little bit of rebellious streak, kind of a godly rebellious streak. Now, that's a strange phrase. But I rebelled against the notion that I needed to obey the dictates of my forebears and my family line, and that what was in my family and taught, that I had to go by that. When I got born again, when I got saved, I was raised Catholic, I just realized, you know what? I need to be open to a whole new stream of understanding, not what my family and all believes. And something in me just said, I threw it all out and started anew. And it was caused a lot of consternation for several years. But that's that maverick streak of my personality. I just, by golly, I got a hold of something. Ain't nobody gonna let me get a hold, lose this thing. I got it. I will not fail. I have something in my spirit and character that I will not fail. I'm not gonna fail. I don't care what I gotta do. I don't care where I go, how long it takes. I will not fail. I'm gonna succeed. I will succeed. And I have a life to prove that. It's just in me. It's in my family. It's in my dad. It's in my brothers. I'm just not going to fail. I don't care what I got to go, where I got to go, who I got to go. I will not fail. I'm going to win this. In Jesus' name. Yeah, y'all ever listen to these motivational speakers? I listen to a lot. It's okay to listen to motivational speakers as long as they don't put Jesus in it. In the sense of, it's okay to have a simple, legitimate, motivational speech about something. That's fine. When they couch it that this is Christianity, come on. But there is truth to the motivation of Christianity. It says the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presses into it. Paul said, forgetting the things, I'm pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling. It's okay to have a goal. There are very successful people in the world, monetarily and financially. Why? Because they have a goal, they press to it and they never quit, and they stick to it and they win. That's just a truth of life. Even put aside the spiritual. If you have a goal and you press to it and nobody can dissuade you and you're committed and nothing, you're never going to quit, the likelihood is you're going to succeed. That's just the way life is. But you know what? When you do that in the kingdom of God, okay, because and the hell comes against you, you will succeed both ways. Then you'll succeed spiritually and God will come up behind and toss in the physical success as an aside because he knows your heart. You see, God has no problem with success in this world. There's no problem with being prosperous in this world. Well, that's not your heart. Your heart is the kingdom. Whether you're poor or rich, impoverished or wealthy, what do you care? Paul said, I've learned in both places to be content. I don't care. But if that's your heart, God will bless the socks off you. Because he knows he can trust you. Can you hear that? There's such a misguided... the prosperity teaching is out there. The problem is there is a legitimacy to it to a degree. That's why it's sold and packaged and bought, because there is some scripture and legitimacy to it. And I got to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Say, there is a legitimacy. But the difference is, I don't have some picture of a pink Cadillac on my refrigerator that every time I walk by, I claim it and name it. Which is what these prosperity clowns teach. That you just vision and dream something, claim it, name it. I would say that's a misguided perception. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the key. The kingdom. The unseen world in this world. Seek it passionately. Pursue it. Be dogged about it. Hard-headed about it. Maverick about it. Go for it. And guess what? You'll get it. And then God will kick in other stuff too. And that's what he's saying. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at number two. That doesn't stand in the way of sinners. This is the second easy step. Don't stand in the way. The word sinners there is the word way. Does not stand in the way. The Hebrew word is derek, and it means worldview perspective. Does not stand in the cultural worldview of the sinners. You know, there's a cultural worldview that surrounds us. It bombards us. And this is it. What you own is what you're worth. What you achieve is all that matters. You must do things to get ahead. There is a cultural worldview. A materialistic worldview. Can you imagine that? It bombards us with media and culture and science and like this global warming hoax. Global warming is a religion that the environmentals have gone to. It is when I found out the feds have made a law this past week, they're going to outlaw light bulbs. They already have. They signed the bill. Light bulbs have been outlawed, and after 2012, it'll be illegal to buy a light bulb. Did you know that bill was passed this week, and W signed it in the energy bill? You say, how ridiculous. Yes, it's ridiculous. If I want a light bulb, by golly, I ought to have a light bulb. Right? Whatever kind. For the feds to mandate, I saw an article, Thomas Edison is spinning in his grave. And it's just this nanny state we live in. It's ridiculous, and it's a hoax, and it's religion. I'm going to tell you, it's a worldview. The whole warming, global warming thing is a gaga, gaga. Listen, this world's got hot coal, hot coal. It's really going to get warm. You want to talk global warming? I'll tell you global warming. First, second, Peter, sucks to the sea. Elements will melt with a fervent heat. It's going to get real hot. And these people think there's like religion. It's ridiculous. It's a cultural war. It's just a fad. It's stupid. Like I remember their nuclear freeze thing. I go way back with these fads. Oh yeah, back in this nuclear freeze. Oh, well, I'll tell you how we win the Cold War. Let's just freeze all our nuclear bombs and maybe the Ruskies won't bomb us. That was the mindset of the nuclear freezeites. Anybody remember that movement? Thank God for Cowboy Ronald Reagan. He said, I think not. He put missiles over in Western Europe. He put missiles over there. And there was that movie called The Day After and all. They were freaking out the end of the world. I beg not. No, all he did is what common sense tells you. The way you win a battle is you just show you're not a wimp. And he went to Iceland and met Gorby And and Gorby said, and he wouldn't lay down Star Wars, and he did, and he basically went up to the bully and said no, and the bully backed down, and communism after 70 years ended. He killed the Cold War. If you know the truth. Folks, the bottom line is, whatever you believe about all that, the reality is there is a worldview, there's constant waves of gaga and weirdness and pervertedness and just from the culture hitting you. Command of man. It's just cultural worldview. And I'm cognizant of it, but I know it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. The only thing that's going to last is the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. And what we do for the kingdom. The little things we do with testimonies today, like my brother here, and what you do, and each one of y'all going out, just the little things you do, loving and having, I'll tell you what, in the spirit world, in the kingdom to come, you don't realize how magnificent that is, written in the heavenlies, to help, to go the extra mile, to love the poor. Jesus even said your eternal reward, your eternal place for eternal kingdoms has to do, did you clothe the naked? Did you visit them that were in prison? Right? Did you visit the sick? Did you care? Did you? He said, whatever you do, for the least of these, you do to me. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's what it's all about, guys. That's the kingdom. But you got to understand, bless he that stands not in the way of the sinners. You got to get off that road. You'll be swept in it. You got to make a deliberate choice of an alternative worldview. And I'll tell you, there's only one way you're going to get an alternative worldview. One way. Sitting under the anointed preaching of God's Word. That's it. There is no other place. All week long, if you're a media hound like me, I just read. I'm just one of those guys. I'm thirsty for that kind of thing. It's the way God's made me. But thank God for His Word. And I got to know that stuff, unfortunately. So that I can see and preach against it and recognize what's going on. I don't want to be naive. You really don't have to know about it. One of the guys I work with, Vish says, I don't watch the news. I come home, my wife is watching it. He says, I just go out of the room. I don't want to know about any of that stuff. And half of them, I partially said, you know, I really envy you. I think you're a wise man in some way. You know, up to this industrial revolution, you know, just 150 years ago, nobody knew anything about anything. You know that? In the earlier years, 150 years ago, all you knew about what was going on in your local little township, right? And the neighbors down the street. You didn't know about what was going on. The world has shrunk, and it's to our detriment in some ways. So you got it? What's the first step? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, folks. Be hard-headed. Don't believe it because somebody said it. Be a Berean. Don't just buy it because you heard it. Be hard-headed about it. Love the truth. Don't just buy it because it's the popular thing. Number two, don't stand in the way of the sinners. Man, there's a wave. There's a tidal wave coming. A tsunami of a culture. Just stand there hard-headed and refuse to let it sweep you away. Be a maverick. Walk to a different drummer. And what's the third one? No, sits in the seat of the scornful. It's interesting, the word scornful in the Hebrew, it's L-U-W-T-S, the transliteration. It means scoffer of mouthers. Mouthers. You don't sit in the seat of the people that mouth, people that ridicule or scorn or sneer. What does that say? Avoid close association with those that are ruled by pride. Or at least don't submit your heart to them. A few times, sometimes you have to be around people that are ruled by pride. Maybe you're married to one. Maybe your parents are one. Maybe your boss is one. Okay, but you don't have to submit to the demon in your heart. You can do warfare. It's going to be tough. Or if you have a choice in the relationship, don't bond closely with people that are ruled by pride. Pride will take you to hell. Pride is the character trait of Lucifer himself. Few things will rob your happiness as an attitude. Get in that. These are three steps to have a good life, Ivo. Write them down. Oh, you don't have to write them down. They're right there in Psalm 1. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Happy is the man. Don't stand in the cultural blast. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Okay, that's what you need to avoid. Let's close now. What do you need to do? Verse 2. You ready? But, you say, what am I going to do? Not standing, avoiding. Okay, here it is. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law He meditates day and night. Folks, my question is this your delight? I love the Word. This is my fourth Bible of this kind. My first one lasted a year, got all torn up. My second one got in 73. I still got upstairs there, pieces that are falling apart. My third one's at the house. It's all the exact same layout, too. I've had the same layout for 36 years. This is my fourth one. Finally got my name on it. I love the Word. Got a little one on my desk. Every morning when I sit down to check my email, I flip it open. I read the one-year Bible. I love the Word. Thank God for the Word. I appreciate people that love the Word. David, almost every day, you're like Robert Hughes, my colleague. He always sends me his today's thoughts, the Scripture. And David reads the one-year Bible. He always sends me, like you sent one the other day, his perspectives of the revelation in the Scripture. Folks, this is your safety. If you're not in the Word, reading the Word, meditating on the Word, guys, that guy got junk out there that's going to mess with your head. Live in the Psalms and Proverbs. An epistle a day keeps a demon away. Amen? Go to the Gospels. Right. I love the Proverbs. I read the Proverbs today is the 23rd, is it not? Is it not? I read Proverbs 23 this morning. I've already read the chapter. You know, I've been doing that for about a year now. I'm telling you what, I just walk around, Proverbs pop in your head. You look at something, a proverb comes in your head. That's kind of cool. It's because I read that chapter every day. It's got to be God booked it up with 31 chapters and ended up having 31 days in the longest month. The Psalms, there's 150 of them. Okay, breaks down about 3 a day for a month. Whatever, just read. Psalm 119 takes a bit longer to get through. The longest psalm is Psalm 119. The shortest one is Psalm 117. And the middle verse of the Bible is in Psalm 118. Did you know that? Bible facts for you. Do y'all know about the Santa Claus verse? Zechariah 2:6. Ho, ho. Comes from the land of the north. You got to have King James read that. Santa Claus verse. Well, let's not go there, brother. Getting extreme. I love the Word. His delight. Now look at the reward, guys. Look at this. Let's look at this. He will be like a tree. Jeremiah 17 has the same tree in it. And it's even bigger there. It says it'll never cease. But here, Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1 are linked. Do you know that those are the links? I remember hearing it 30 years ago. I found the link between Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1. Look at them both. Compare them. Wonderful teaching there. Both promises. Jeremiah 17 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers. But look what he says here. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves will not fade or wither. You ready? And whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does. Paul, you ever heard of Midas touch? Old fable about a guy that whatever he touched turned to gold. There is a spiritual Midas touch. Whatever you do prospers. There's the key. How to have a happy life. How to have a good life. Oh, there may be little bumps in the road, but fundamentally, whatever you do prospers. Bottom line, you ready? When you commit your life and devote your life to truth and righteousness and honesty, and you're hard-headed about Jesus, then God will bless everything you touch. Everything. And He'll redeem, He'll turn it around. You may not understand it all, but it'll all be blessed. And it'll all just glow with God's glory, not yours. And you'll have that sense of, you know what, even if I die, it's okay. It's all from Him. I've enjoyed the ride. I'm out of here. Like Job had that. You know, I naked to the world I came, naked I go, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a healthy place to be. I wrote here in my notes, I look at my life once in a while. I early decided, I remember the moment I decided, I remember when I got saved. I've been saved about 2 or 3 months, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And I was at USL, it was an early evening, around September of 71. We had a campus post office, right next to the campus, kind of the middle of the ground, but it was a campus post office. And one night I was out walking around, speaking in tongues, just born saved, and I walked up to the campus post office, I think to put a letter in the mail, and there was a girl sitting there, I don't think I've ever shared this, sitting under a tree. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening, 7 o'clock after dinner was over. And I walked up to this young lady. Now, I had been at that campus the whole year before. I had been in a fraternity. you know, I've been, I did not know Jesus, doper. We had a bottomless keg at our fraternity house, just typical guy, always out trying to date different girls, trying to find whatever. And I know there was this young lady sitting there that night, sitting next to the post office, and I walked up to her, and I said, "Can I tell you something?" And she said, "What?" I said, "I want to tell you about Jesus." I just started talking about Jesus, about how I just met Jesus at some, and how he changed my life. And I'll never forget that girl began to cry. She just began to cry. I mean, tears coming out just listening to me. And what do you do? I mean, sorry I made you cry. I didn't mean to make you cry. You know, I was talking about Jesus. And I walked back, and I remember walking down, there was a big median area in the campus, and they had this kind of a covered walkway thing. We'd walk around it. I remember going back into that. It was a beautiful fall night. I looked up, and I said to the Lord, I said, "You know, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do this thing. I said, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I've never been able to walk up to somebody and just share, and God hits them. Well, girl begins to cry. I wouldn't say anything to hurt her. I just shared my life, and God came. And I remember thinking, you know, I've never experienced anything like that. I've decided I'm going to walk with you. And I just made that decision that day. I am going to just do it. I'm just going to do this. No matter what comes, what I lose, I'm going to go for it." Folks, that was in early fall of 71. Okay, and I'm preaching this today in, what is it, Christmas of 07. And I'm going to tell you something. I can look back now from that moment to this. I've had a blessed life. And I've had all the ungodly counsel coming in. I've had temptations to get into the cultural worldview. I've been surrounded by many scornful ones. But I'm just hard hit. Doggone. I've just decided I'm going to press it. I'm going to go for it. And I can look back at my life, and God has blessed me. I mean, in every way. Physically, my health. I was at a conference up in the Hot Springs, and Jerry McGee, in the middle of a sermon, all these people, she pointed to me. She said, "Well, I know Chris follows Jesus. He's the youngest looking 55-year-old I know." I'm serious. When you follow Jesus from teenagerhood, it just don't wear on you like sin does. It don't wear on you. Can any man? Some begin to wear me a little bit, but time do finally take its toll. Sherry was telling me we got to eat. She said, "You look 50. I said, "No, I don't." So we asked the wait. Behind Sherry, I held up a couple of bills, you know. Waiter said, "Well, you're about 44. I said, "Well, man." Yeah. I can just tell you guys, God has blessed me. He's blessed my ministry. He's blessed me with a really cool job. I now have honor. I have honor in a lot of places in that job, and respect and income. And he's blessed me with this business, the church. He's given me a house that's paid for. I have no debt. This building here, we just had to renew. I told y'all we had to redo the mortgage. Turned out wasn't a big deal. $160 to do a complete refi. Don't go figure. Yeah, I don't know why they did that. We only owe 34 months more payments than we own the building. Can you imagine? 34 months and we own, and that's not what put anything else on the front. God is good. Although that's kind of cool. To be debt free. To live a life where God has provided for me. And you know what? I'm at the point, I mean, praise God, I like life. Do you like life, Jim? I like life. Do y'all like life? But you know what? If it ended today, it's okay. It was a good ride. I enjoyed it. We got our will done. I have a product called Prepaid Legal, so we got our will done. And I'm out of here. I hope I don't. I hope I stretch this thing out to the end. You know, the bottom line is, I'm talking a little bit about myself, but I just want to make the point that teaching is how to have a really good life through easy steps. It works. And it's, I'm not going to say you're not going to have hell thrown at you. And problems and issues. Oh, yeah. And struggles. But you know what? If you just get up, shake yourself off, the blood of Jesus is there. Thank God for the blood. Can any man? I mean, I don't care how down you are in beaten little pieces. The Holy Ghost will forgive you, brush you off, get up, keep going. The only people that lose are the people that quit. As long as your heart hit. Now, I want to ask in conclusion, how many mavericks we got out there? Come on, how many radicals? There's something down inside of you, just ain't going to be content with the crowd. You're just going to do it a little bit different. Huh? I'm giving you a big picture today. The big picture of life, folks. And the only thing that matters in life, there's only one thing, is when you stand before Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. I'm living for that day. When I stand before him, and I know what he's going to say. I like Affabel. If y'all hadn't heard Vivier's audio play on Affabel, that's incredibly convicting. He talks about Judgment Day. And I'm sure when I stand there, the Master is going to be very, very loving, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of places I could have and I didn't. I should have and I would. But I'm just so grateful that I have something to put in his hands. Amen? Just something to put at his feet. Jesus, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the big picture, that the Word of God is true. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you're determined to love your neighbor, and to love God, and to be obedient disciple, and to do it the right way, to get up under the authority of the kingdom of God, to let the chastening of the Lord's rod and staff straighten us out. That God, you are faithful. He that performed a good work will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask you to forgive us for believing the tinsel, dime store lies of the demons. Lord, he shot out of those demons, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for buying into the cultural worldview. This whole world is in a whirlpool, sucked to hell. Lord, help us to be in the world, but not of the world. To not be snobs and arrogant Pharisees, to be loving and meek. But at the same time, Lord, to keep our head above the water. No, we're living in the heavenlies. And we have a kingdom and a home. We have a land, a city that's going to come down from the skies. Jesus, we thank you for the ride, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Did y'all pray that? Let's all stand.